Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1714, Bernard Dara.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure proposing four units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 32,653 square feet more or less, lying west of Route 357, also referred to as Cedar Neck Road, and north of Assawaman Canal. Bear with me just a second. For the benefit of the commission, I'll pass down copies of the site plan for this application. On Monday, I believe, we received a booklet, which the commissioners all have copies of. And for the record, the booklet contains an introduction, a copy of the deed, a site plan, an aerial site plan overlay identifying adjoining uses, photographs of nearby area uses, floor plans, front elevation, and proposed findings of fact. That booklet is a part of the record. We also received a couple of agency comments, first one being from the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report dated July 26th of 2006. Makes reference to the zoning conditional use, makes reference to AR, but it's actually GR. The road references Central Avenue from Atlantic Avenue, Route 26, to the Northeast Ocean View limits. The annual average daily traffic is 5,209 vehicles per day. The summer average is the same. A traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level of service, the level of service C, and does not change as a result of this application. From the Sussex Conservation District, in the form of a memorandum from Debbie Asher, District Coordinator, and dated November 8th of 2007, I'm not even sure if I can pronounce this whole thing here. Braca Norton.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that.
Different. Haven't heard that one. It's all hyphen urban land complex and a dour loamy sand. The applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. A portion of this property is in a FEMA flood zone AE, so there is reference to storm flood hazards. No off-site drainage improvements will be required. The applicant will be required to follow recommended state sediment and stormwater program guidelines, and there is no tax ditch affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial tax map and photographs and additional information on the soil types. And that's all I have, gentlemen. I have not received a copy of the from the county engineering office in reference to SOAR unless it's been misplaced. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Sergovic.
For the record, my name is John Sergovic. I'm also with the firm of Sergovic and Ellis, such as Ms. Carmine before me.
Well, you work for Ms. Carmine.
Okay. I mean, pursuit. Pursuit. The applicant is Bernard Dara. He's an individual. He bought this property in 2003. The essence of this application is that we have a triangular wedge of land, and it's got 32,000 square feet of land. And in the GR district, we would be able, if it was had been laid out as lots, we would have been able to get three lots, 10,000 square feet each. When Mr. Dara tried to subdivide the property so he could just put in a house for himself and a lot for his daughter, the subdivision was rejected because you couldn't fit an appropriate land on the triangular nature. So Mr. Dara came to us and Susan Frederick from George Miles and Burr, and we came up with this is the for to utilize the land and not underutilize the land. The application was for a conditional use, multifamily use of the property. And I've specified in my introduction statement that it's an the land's located in an environmentally sensitive district. It is served by public sewers, part of the county sewer district. And the plan recommends 4 dwelling units for single family detached. Manufactured homes in a park would be up to 6. And I use the 6 for mobile homes because as the guideline. So we're suggesting 4 units, which would be 8,163 square feet of land supporting each one of the dwelling units. While I was putting my introduction together, I had Susan Frederick check out and see what the situation was with both water and sewer. And if you look at the first map, this is a small triangle. And there's an elongated triangle that goes from the Assawoman Canal out to what was Lindley Village, and that the road that leads out to Lindley Village, old Lindley Village, now Caldera Properties, and down Cedar Neck Road, Central Avenue. That whole triangle is outside of anybody's service territory. We have water service on the east side of Central Avenue, Cedar Neck Road, by the town of Bethany, serving the Salt Pond Project. Sussex Shore serves Lindley Village and the community on the other side of the road that connects between Route 1 and Cedar Neck Road. And Tidewater serves Ocean View on the other side of the canal. My client today has talked to Rodney Short, and Rodney's agreed that he will extend the franchise through the application under the state process. So we will be able to get Central Water, whether we go to Mr. Short's company or cut an alternative deal with Tidewater or Bethany Beach. It's whatever the economics are, but at least Mr. Short committed verbally today, and it's just a process of applying under the state statute to extend this franchise. Again, we think we're in compliance with the land use plan. It is an environmentally sensitive district. The density we're seeking is compatible with what the plan recommends for GR-type lands that can be used for mobile homes. If we don't develop it this way, you really are scattering population as opposed to condensing population into development districts. We are right across the canal from a town, so we meet the land use plan with respect to moving developments near town centers. Our town center is Ocean View. We have proposed finding of facts which outlines these. The use is compatible with the neighbors. At tab 4 of our booklet, Susan has provided an aerial overview. Our client's property is right next to the Assawoman Canal and Cedar Avenue. There is two commercial uses directly across the street. There is the Salt Pond Professional Center at the intersection of Cedar Neck Road, and I can't remember what the name of that road is, but it's right there. The rest of the property across the canal, Susan is doing a subdivision of 4 lots, so it's a developing area along, I believe it's, there's a mobile home development called Hunter's Run, I believe, which is also very close to this property. And of course, we're right next to, or almost right next to the Salt Pond, which is a mixed townhouse, single family residential. So we believe that the property is compatible. We'd be removing an existing house that has age to it the last time I drove by it, and a shed, and I think it would be a benefit to the community. And I'll ask Susan to just explain the site plan. And I also, before that, Mr. Bureau, with respect to what I just said about your project, is that, do you adopt my outline as your evidence?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I need you to give your name and address for the record, please.
Bernard J. Deere, Jr. My address is 513 Ocean Avenue, Cape May Point, New Jersey.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Susan, can you just explain the site plan?
Hi, I'm Susan Frederick with George Miles and Bure, and I guess John pretty much covered.
Excuse me, Mrs. Frederick. If just as a matter of policy, although I do know that you are a credentialed person, I need you to put your credentials on the record for us, if you would, please.
I'm a project architect with George Miles and Bure.
Registered professional architect in the state of Delaware.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
John pretty much covered the exhibits that are in the booklet for you, but I'll go over them, I guess, in a little bit more detail. The plan on, I guess, his tab 3 shows the site plan of the project, which shows 4 townhouse units set parallel to the canal. In this respect, we were in trying to use the best part of the site for these units and keep the units in a way away from the abutting neighbors to preserve their privacy. I think that it accomplishes that, and we've allowed for a lot of the property to remain in a natural state. If we go to tab 4, where we're looking at the aerial view, we're also seeing there the sort of the neighborhood that this will sit in. It's situated right on the canal, and as John said, across the street there are several small businesses. Approximately 200 feet down, there is the Salt Pond Professional Center on the corner of the intersection. Behind this, these businesses is the Salt Pond, and then to the right of the Professional Center are some additional developments, and I can't remember the names of them. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. We'll see if anyone has any. Okay. Typically, we'll hold our questions till the end of your presentation.
Yeah, Mike, that really concludes our presentation. Okay. I have enclosed in the booklet at tab number 8 proposed finding of facts, which are reflective of what our testimony has been today. And we've also pulled 13 conditions, and I took those conditions from an application where a similar situation where a small townhouse community was being created, and that particular community was going from I believe a temporary use, kind of camper use, to this, and it was off of I guess it was off of Route 5. Mm-hmm. But it was the closest application I could find, so that I try to parallel the same conditions that was done on a similar type application. And again, we believe this application is in full compliance with both the zoning ordinance, the underlying zone, the land use plan, and because we are a GR district, so we should be able to develop the lands at least the density authorized by the GR district.
All right, sir, we thank you, and we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I believe Mr. Lank indicated at the beginning that he didn't have any information at this time from county engineering regard to central sewer. What does your files and findings have?
Called and requested information on that, was told that there was sewer available.
Yeah, it would have to be. I mean, you have Salt Pond on one side, and you know, you just have to have central sewer in that area.
Did they indicate the number of EDUs that they would allow any allocation for this?
When they installed the sewer line, there's 2 6-inch laterals to the property already, and that's what they put into the front of the property. I had them space them out. So that's what's there already.
Thank you. And there is no central water?
Not yet, but again, my client, when I was preparing the booklet, I was cross-checking the things, and one of the things I noticed was, although the land use plan only requires central sewer, I recognize that every application of this nature also, the commission's desire to have central water. And again, my client talked to Rodney Short, who's the president of the Sussex Shores Water Company, and it's just a question of paying the cost of running the pipe down the road to get water to that. But there are other alternatives, and they may be cheaper by running the line from Tidewater and Ocean View. I mean, that bridge is probably 50 feet at the most in length to cross over the canal. So I don't know what you'd have to do to insulate a pipe going along that right away, but I'm sure it could be done.
But you have options either way.
Yeah, or we can go across the street. We're going to get it. I mean, it's all around us. It's just nobody's apparently applied for an extension of a franchise.
If this application were looked favorably on, what sort of timetable do you have, keeping in mind that you don't have central water and that it is possible that the cost associated with that, I would think Mr. Short being the president and owner, he may have some ideas as to...
I've dealt with Mr. Short before, too.
As to who would pay for that in...
Well, it would have to be the applicant. The question is, if it was Sussex Shores Water, they'd make an application at the PSC, probably include the intervening trailer park, and that's how that would work. So it really is, it's a question of what the PSC would allow as the franchise territory, and whether or not Sussex Shores would have to then put up capital to serve additional people. But it's really a PSC question, as opposed to a land use question. It's really what the fair tariff would be, and we trust the PSC to not allow Mr. Short to drive my client into bankruptcy to get water.
But you're indicating that your client then has been advised and would be willing to take on those costs to bring the infrastructure to him, being what they may be, and keeping in mind if he did have to pipe it over the bridge or go under a road and there were some repairs and that road had to be required to state Department of Transportation specs.
Right. And we're aware of that, but I mean, it's a necessity, and it's probably, if my client gets water extended to his lot, it's going to cross over whatever those barriers are, whether it be the road, the canal, or down the road, and that will then open up that triangle for water service to others. So I think the conditional use and the fact that you would condition the use on our obtaining central water would be the benefit to the community that would support the conditional use.
The community being these
four? The other people in this triangle that are currently not served with central water. They would then have, my client would be the instigator of removing the barrier from the water company serving that triangle, because the barrier is an unnatural. Well, it's a street or a canal, which is the artificial boundary for water service.
And just backing up to my question, thank you for that answer. Good one. The timeline then, as I heard you say, if this were acted favorably on, it could be looked at.
It would be tied into our connection with the water.
Yes.
Can I expand upon that?
realizing that a conditional use is only valid for a year, and you have the right to ask for two extensions. So you have a maximum of three.
Again, it is not that difficult of a process to extend an existing franchise, and it's fairly rapid, and the water companies will require a capital intrusion from the developer applicant, but it's done all the time.
Sorry, Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to ask you if you would go back along with me, but I'm going to ask if Mr. Johnson, he's our numbers man, would ask you if he would in his questioning to you to go back over with us if Mr. Johnson agrees. If not, I'll ask the question now. But he's the numbers man. How you came up with the what you divided with the square footage and the units and all.
Okay.
But out of that, and I anxiously await that answer in the next few minutes, something that you said was an underutilization of the land and a scattering of the development if this wasn't acted favorably on it. I can't comprehend that.
What I'm saying is the land is currently zoned GR, okay? Because of the land's configuration, the triangular nature, I can only get one dwelling unit on the 30,000 square feet of land. The underlying zoning district allows me to have one dwelling unit for 10,000 square feet of land. So if we don't grant the conditional use, I'm scattering two dwelling units someplace to a different zone when this zone allows development of at least three dwelling units. So therefore, we're scattering population from a higher density district to a lower density district.
Could three mobile homes be put on this property?
Yes.
So three dwelling units that would be considered as manufactured housing.
Right.
And that would be consistent with, say, Collins Park.
Right, exactly.
Could go on this.
Right.
And that would somewhat refute the underutilization.
No, I can't get the three mobile homes because I can't subdivide three lots because of the configuration of the land. In other words, I can't draw 50-foot lots, 50-foot wide lots, rectangularly because the configuration of the land won't allow it. So therefore, I'm wasting that land. I can't put the mobile homes on it, although as a matter of zoning right, I should have the ability to put three mobile homes on this property. But I can't do that because of the way the land's configured.
What he's saying is that he only has 221 foot of frontage.
Frontage, right.
It's not dividable as far as a standard minor subdivision, but it doesn't have the frontage. He has to have 150 long public road.
The geometry.
If you create a 50-foot right of way to get to the interior, taking about over a third of the property just in the straight line right of way, and then you have to have a cul-de-sac with, in its triangle shape, you're going to end up taking that much more. So you, at best, if you could get it subdivided with a street, you probably best you could get is probably two, as far as subdivision of the property.
Right. So in a way, the conditional use application is I'm kind of applying Board of Adjustment standards. It's a practical difficulty to develop the land that as the zoning code would allow.
And Mr. Dara bought this land about 4 years ago.
Correct.
And the boundaries are the same now as when he purchased it.
I'm not saying, I mean, he's bought the piece of land and he's trying to utilize the land in consistent with the underlying zoning ordinance, applying the allowed conditional use to actually not only benefit him but also his neighbors, because the land then is not underutilized and it's not undervalued.
Thank you. I noticed this is parcel 56, there's a register owner of parcel 58, last name Dara. Is that the same as the applicant or
That's my uncle, and he lives in the back. And when we laid out this project here, I left the back part of that property, wanted to keep that in its original form because the trees are real nice in the back. So I was trying to save the rear of the property to make it extra nice and keep the development as close up to lay it out in that manner that complemented his property also.
Thank you. So that's your uncle that has 58, parcel 58.
Right.
Okay. And just one last question, if you'd be so kind.
Sure.
Go back over where you about the integrating of this site into the surrounding community.
Well, again, you have the Salt Pond, which is a mixed-use community, which is removed by two or three commercial properties. You have an existing mobile home park. Beyond that, Lindley Village has been converted from a mobile home park to a townhouse use. So in the general neighborhood, we're talking about mixed residential units of varying types, mobile homes, townhomes. We also have some single families, so it's a very mixed-use community. And we think that the townhouses are compatible with the surrounding uses. And it also gives us the advantage, as Mr. Deere said, of retaining the existing natural growth along the canal, which is between the property or the improvement on tax map parcel 58 and the canal. So I think it complements the community.
No other questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey.
And your facts and findings on number 11, you said no wetlands should be located within areas of disturbance or construction. Can you show me where the wetlands are on this?
I don't think we've done a wetland delineation.
You haven't?
No, because it wasn't required. I don't think the soil types are inconsistent with a wetland need. Again, we have the Asawoman Canal that was dug down below, and this is kind of an upland bank over top of it.
Okay. So far as you know, there's no wetlands on it?
No. I mean, we could commission a wetland study, but it's just the nature of the land doesn't indicate that it would probably some of the spoil from the canal actually ended up on these banks, and I don't think it's not normally where you have wetlands.
Okay. And the lots 3, 4, and 5, is that owned by Mr. Deere also?
No.
And the chain link fence is existing?
Pardon?
The chain link fence is existing? It's already there?
It's there now.
Okay. Just one more question. If this was voted on favorably, would you include a landscape plan on the final?
Sure.
Okay. That's all the questions I
have. All right, so Mr. Johnson.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Smith didn't ask me to live up to my other reputations. Otherwise, I'd be asking about basketball courts and streetlights and sidewalks. Well, like Mr. Smith, I was having some difficulty, Mr. Sergovic, with some of your math, and the one being the six lots of 6,833 square feet. That doesn't match, but that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at four, basically, lots of the 8,163.
Right.
But am I correct that in this situation, as I read over your summary again, part of the reason for being here was originally when the property was purchased, Mr. Dare wished to subdivide it so there would be a lot for his daughter.
Well, you know, when he first purchased the property, and he said, you know, he bought the property, and then tried to implement the uses that the property could be put to. His first thought was to subdivide the property so his daughter could have a lot and he could have a lot. And he found that he couldn't subdivide the property because, you know, an engineer said you can't really do this because of the triangular nature. So then he came to myself and Susan and said, what can we do with this property? And we said, the amount of square footage you have should entitle you to at least 3 units, but we're going to make an application for 4 because I think the 4 units fit into the land fairly nicely.
Could you speak into the mic?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But as I understand from Mr. Lank, it might be possible to make 2 out of it using the right-of-way and a cul-de-sac, Mr. Lank?
Yeah. It would be difficult.
Possible.
It would be difficult. Most of the property is going to be set up in the right-of-way.
Okay. So because it couldn't be that, and thank you, Mr. Smith, for the compliment about the math part, because that's what I'm struggling with now. We couldn't have 2 properties, so instead of having 2, now we're going to turn it into 4. So we just kind of leapfrogged over that.
Well,
I guess that's where I was having trouble with the math, too.
I have 32,000 square feet of land. GR GR is 10,000 square foot lots, okay? So 10,000 square foot lots into 32,000 square foot gives me 3 dwelling units. I am asking for 4, which is an increase. And if the commission said, all right, you know, you're asking for too much, my client has already understood that we're asking for perhaps more, but we have to go through the process. And now that I found out that we have to extend extend a water line down, the extra unit will help defer the cost of that.
Well, I guess I'm glad Mr. Smith didn't ask me about my other reputation, which is just because you have a piece of ground doesn't mean you can grow a house on it.
Well, I understand that, but the zoning code does establish use rights.
Yes.
And it also establishes mechanisms to adopt use rights through things such as the conditional use mechanism when there is a underlying difficulty with the way a piece of land happened to be subdivided.
Even more basic than that, the applicant's entitled to ask for whatever they feel is appropriate.
Oh, absolutely. I don't question that.
Understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And on the adjoining properties, do you know what type of housing is being proposed there? On those, looks like 4 lots.
4 lots on the other side.
I assume lot number 7 isn't buildable. Or maybe I'm wrong.
You're referring to
the rectangular piece next to your triangle. It looks like there's
a mobile home there now.
Right, but I mean right here, this has been subdivided into 4, looks like 4 sizable lots.
No, the 2 that you're pointing to is 1 mobile home.
Right.
The one behind it is 1 single family home. And the point of the triangle behind it, that's the part we're trying to preserve to keep that part of the property as pristine as we can.
Bernie.
Right, but these have been subdivided already?
Yes, that's someone else's.
Not? Right.
Existing subdivision, right?
Yeah, that's,
I understand. I just didn't know what type of housing was being proposed on that subdivision. I've been on the commission.
There's a trailer go over.
Yes.
There. I think they've been around for quite some time.
Quite some time.
Yeah,
and on the two lots that are along County Road, or I guess at Central Avenue, those two lots are developed by 1 mobile home that straddles the subdivision line.
Right. I just didn't know if what had already been approved previously for that subdivision and the type of housing, as we look at what impact this project that you're representing tonight may or may not have on the adjoining property. Okay, no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
In staying with that,
theme of the impact. How tall are these buildings going to tower over top of the what is the height of these?
Well,
the height is typical two-story home. It's 28 feet or something like that. I don't remember the exact height, but it's not anywhere close to the maximum heights permitted.
Thank you,
Mr. Burton. Just to follow up on that, the height is what it is with regard to the height limit in the zoning code. So, really, that can't be taken into consideration.
I mean, we would not object to a condition that limited the height to a two-story building as opposed to the maximum 42 feet.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No question.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Counts?
I'm just curious if you've discussed with DelDOT if they're going to have any requirements for additional right-of-way.
We haven't. That would come at the site plan.
The only reason I ask that is because of the configuration of the site, and if it's a major collector road, and I don't know what their requirement's going to be, but if it's anything substantial, it may have an impact on your design. You might want to get that resolved quickly. That's all.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
How far is the structure from the mean high water line of the canal? Do we know? Is it more than 50 feet?
Yes.
So in other words, is the property line, how far in your estimate is the property line from the actual water of the canal? I guess in a straight line. I realize it's
I would venture to guess about 70 feet.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay. All right, then. We thank you. I'm sorry. Is something else, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll go ahead. Answer all his math questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This lot number 7, now is that this little piece up here? What am I looking at there with an existing oak tree? Is that a part of the application? Is that a...
No, the way I understand, this is part of the neighbor's property.
I see.
Our lot
everything
is. And this is part
of lot 7. I see. Okay. It makes a little more sense on this one. I think you can see it better. It looks like this lot, for whatever reason, jogs up there.
Okay. That's a nice. And your client just indicated he thought it was 70 feet probably to the in response to Mr. Robertson's question.
Well, you can look at tab 4 and you can kind of make out where the water line is and the heavily wooded area between the boundary line and the water line of the canal.
And one last question. Has Mr. Dara done any other subdivisions in Sussex County or in New Jersey?
In New Jersey, I have, and never in Delaware. I started this process because I wanted this for my daughter. But since this took so long, I bought her another house. You know, when I first started this, it was way back when.
Good answer. Thank you.
All right, sir.
Anything else?
We thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application this evening. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1714, Bernard Dara? For anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1714? Okay, we'll start over here, sir, with you in the blue sweater. And I need you to come up and give us your name and address, and then you may have the floor.
My name is Bob Durr. I have the property adjacent to this property here. First thing to go, that he bought this property himself. I paid for half of the property. When the deed came through, the deed was his name only. And my wife said we should have it put in both names. I said, I trust my nephew. That's why I'm here. I trusted him. During the course of his house, he put a spike fence up. And the show for his, you know, when you put your sign up on the road, you know, so you can see it. I got pictures where he had the sign in the window of the house, 35 feet away from the road. That's number one. He put a pipe fence up there. As far as leaving the property goes in condition, nice condition, there's trees been cut down. I have pictures where trees been cut down on the property in the back of my mind, make my property look bad. I got pictures where the trees didn't fall down. They were cut down, some of them. Or second of all, a lot of stuff was rolled onto the state property. As of this morning, he had a flatbed trailer, which was on the state property without their permission for approximately 5 to 6 weeks, maybe a little less or a little more. He moved it this morning. Before that, he had no easement to go to the main road. He was using state property. When he had the property for sale, he said that he had papers that he could go through, you know, to the main road. But there's no easement. He had to go through Del Dot, and he never went through Del Dot for the property. And I can go on and on and on. For spite, there was I got pictures of a boat in the yard was on a trailer. Someone took a hammer and punched all holes in there for spite. That's still on the back there. And there's a lot of debris back there from this house before he came there, from benches and stuff like that for the people there before. And it just goes on and on and on. Once he gets his way, he does anything he wants. And as far as the property goes over in Jersey, I have the phone number and all of the building inspector. 10 cases, he got caught eight times, two he got away with, you know, for not going up to the code and so on. And it just seems that's one thing after the other. Right now, he's making my property look like crap because everything's all, the trees are down, it's cut down, and junk all around there. And the trailer, he moved, like I say, he moved the trailer today. He has no easement to get to the main road. If he does get permission on this, he'll use the state property. Now, these properties here he's going to put up or will put up, he's going to use the state property because it goes 10 feet from the line or 13 feet from the back of the property. So they're going to be using the state property as theirs. So there's a lot of things involved here, and I could go on and on and on. As far as his daughter getting a house there right away, that property was mine at the time. And then I got a survey there by Simpler and Son. And a survey, you get three different surveys on there. The property along the canal was 360 feet, 359 feet, and 356 feet. Which one is right? They're all made by the same company, Simpler and Son. I got the papers here, and I got pictures. You'd like to see them. Well, also, this impact on my house, it'll bring back the value of it by probably putting these four trailers there. And,
Okay, no, just one second. He's not applied for trailers, just so I want to make
sure. Well, they're mobile homes, or...
No, actually, they're not. They're townhouses.
Townhouses? Yeah. But they're going to be brought in like trailers. All made up, brought in, set on the blocks. As far as Collins Park goes, there's trailers there. But each one has so much square footage for each lot. If you compare them to square, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know how he's going to get them there, but he's not applied for mobile homes or trailers of any kind. He's applied
Well, he sells them over. He can tell you that he sells them. He'll be buying ones that he sells.
I don't want you to be confused about what he's applied for. It's not okay. Mobile homes.
Well, I know what he's applying for. And then I have a Simpler and Son. There's three different layouts of the ground in the back, which 256 feet. Or 360 feet, 269 feet, and or 369 feet, 59. And there's a difference between the whole three of them, but the same surveyor made. I got the surveys here if you'd like to see them. One was...
We have a copy of the survey prepared by GMB that says the same dimension as the latest Simpler survey at 369 plus.
369. Well, I got one here by him, 356. Then also when he surveyed that, he said the garage was 3 feet, 5, 2 feet, 9. Now next survey, she changed it to 5 feet something. So which survey is right? I mean, you know?
Well, apparently that the most recent Simpler survey, when compared to the survey done by another company.
It was done by Simpler, the survey was. Was done by the same company. The whole three of them are done by the same company.
No, I think what Mr. Wheatley's saying, there's the GMB.
There's the GMB survey.
The GMB survey references a simpler survey.
References a simpler survey, but it references the last one.
369.
Yeah.
I got a petition by six neighbors there. They don't want this property ours. I forgot to bring it. It was on the table. I got three neighbors right here now opposed to these buildings they made on there.
Okay.
And I got a lot of other things I could bring up, but time is valuable. So, right. But basically, that's it right now. Anything other questions you'd like to ask me?
We're fine.
I would like to ask you, sure. if I might, and thank you for your sharing. If I were to ask you if you could narrow it down to one major concern that you have or one point of opposition, what would that be?
The opposition? Well,
just one.
I can't see major. Where he could be using the state property. We're back in the trailers, which he's going to use as his own. Because the trailers or houses or wherever they are going to be 13 feet from the state property, so behind the house. So evidently they're going to be using that ground back there for their own use. Now, they had a trailer back there, a flatbed trailer. You had to walk around it or fall on it. Was there for 6 or 7 weeks. And he was told to move it this morning before he came through the meeting. I got pictures of that too. I got pictures of where he has a part of the boiler tube, he rolled over on the state property. It was on his property. He rolled over, it's on the state property. And there's a lot of things that goes on. There's a tree out in the front of the house there. The top of it is all rotten. It's about 300, 400 pounds. If that should break and fall on somebody, which he knows about now, would he be responsible?
I thank you for your answer.
Okay. Anything else you want?
No, we're good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, working our way down the row in the denim jacket. That's you.
Yeah, my name is John W. Lewis, and I live on the two lots next door to him on the Calhoun development, mm-hmm. lots 5 and 6.
All right, sir.
And I'm opposed to it. What I was told, what is the policy? Is it one lot, one house?
Well, if it's a... go ahead, Lawrence.
Good.
No, you go ahead.
You need to address why you're opposed to this application if you're in opposition. Yeah, he right now could have one house, which he already has.
Yeah.
But he's intending to develop it into 4 townhouse buildings.
Yeah.
He has a right to ask for that, and you need to state why you oppose it.
He's asking permission to develop 4 townhomes, and that's what we're asking you. What if you're opposed to that, if you would be kind enough to tell us why?
Well, that's there's not enough room to start off with. And on the water deal, like we had to do, mm-hmm. we had to put in our own well. And if he's going to have 4 places, he should be made to put in 4 wells.
Well, I think that as a matter of
typically, of there is no
public policy, you would prefer to have central water would be a better solution.
No, I don't want central water.
Beg your pardon?
I don't want central
water. We're not talking about you, sir. We're talking about this application. We're talking about 4 townhomes, and it would be much more expensive probably to do central water than it would be to drill 4 wells. If you could drill 4 wells, it'd be fairly simple, but you wouldn't want 4 wells. You probably couldn't get 4 wells on a parcel by that size.
And first off, he wanted to put the road by the telephone pole. Now he wants to move the road over towards my property, right up against my property, and run the access road in.
And the only one that has jurisdiction over that is the Department of Transportation, and they're going to ask that it be as far away from that bridge as they can get, most likely.
And I've lived there 50 years. First of all, I lived on lot 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And then when I got married, I moved to lot because I lived with Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move to 5 and 6.
Okay.
I'm just opposed to it.
Okay. All right, then. We appreciate your sharing your thoughts with us. Okay, anyone else? Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
My name's Roger Deith. Last name spelling D-E-I-T-H. I live directly across the street from the lot in question. By putting townhouses in there, it'll change the aesthetics of the area. As you've already mentioned about the traffic on this road, it's extremely heavy, and having many more vehicles coming out of a driveway is going to be a problem. It'd be, in my opinion, be a safety problem, and that's about the extent of it. I'm looking at it as a safety factor.
Okay.
We do have wrecks in front of my house, so. And that's it.
All right, then. Well, we appreciate that, sir. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.